This is an interview with Mr. Jay Williams for the Youngstown State University Project on the Black Student Experience. This interview is being conducted using WebEx, and today's date is November 2nd, and my name is Talicia Williams. Hello, Mr. Williams. How are you?
I am excellent, Talicia. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
So let's start off with where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from Youngstown, Ohio. I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio, and spent the majority of my life there. There was a brief period of 3 years where we moved to a little small town when I was, I think, first through third grade. My dad's job transferred him, but it transferred him back to Youngstown. So up until the point that we moved to the Washington, D.C. area, I was born and raised and reared in Youngstown, Ohio.
And what was your experience like growing up in Youngstown? Were you old enough to remember?
I am. Again, I was born on the south side, grew up primarily on the east side. When I got married, we were on the west side, so I've lived on every side of town other than the north side, but I've got deep, deep family roots on the north side. And I grew up in Youngstown in the 80s, you know, so it was certainly a time that the city had gone through some significant challenges and, you know, still was going through significant challenges. When you think about, you know, my formative years, you know, the economics of the city were challenged. You know, I remember growing up in the late 80s or early 90s, the crack epidemic and the gang violence and things like that certainly were plaguing the city. But I also have very fond memories, spending time at Idora Park and in Mill Creek Park, and spending the summers riding my bike all over the city with friends and family members who, you know, lived in the city. I am old enough to remember going down to what was then Strauss department store downtown to the mezzanine level to get chocolate malts. I remember on the east side Brown's drugstore that had the old-fashioned counter where I'd go get, you know, soda, milkshakes and things like that. And I remember, you know, Youngstown still having multiple pools, spending time, you know, at the pool at Southside or Lincoln Park or Northside Pool before it was redone. So, you know, fairly fond memories growing up in Youngstown, you know, not without its challenges. I you know, I didn't grow up wealthy, but I had lots of friends and family and was active in my church. So overall, I wouldn't have traded that experience for anything.
Are you a first generation college student in your family?
First generation to complete college. Yes. So both of my parents have some college. There are family members, uncles and cousins who completed college. But in my immediate lineage from, you know, great grandparents, grandparents and parents, both parents had some college. But my sister and I were the first in that direct lineage to complete college. Yes.
And who encouraged you to go to college? Was it somebody maybe in your high school, maybe your family?
My family. I mean, first and foremost, my parents are the largest influence in my life. And then after that, family members, older uncles and cousins who I admired. And my church, my pastor was a significant influence. So I think I had a variety. And not just my pastor, my parents, family members, but others at the church, coaches, teachers, mentors. So I, you know, I had dozens and dozens of people in my life who were encouraging and supportive. And it was basically, college was like a given. That was like, this is going to happen. You know, this is just what the expectations are. People willing to do whatever was necessary and supporting. So I really never saw it as anything other but inevitable. And again, not out of arrogance, but just the people who surrounded me and supported me were like, this is how it's going to happen.
What was your first year like in college? Do you remember your freshman year here at West?
Oh man, absolutely. So, I was an excellent student in high school. I was valedictorian of our class. You know, high GPA, and my first year in college, man, I think the letter grades were actually spelled, they were BAD. I got a B, an A, and a D. It was my first time ever getting a D, on a, well, you know, high school's report cards. In college, it's whatever they call it now, the grading period. So, you know, it was a somewhat deflating experience. It was a little bit humbling. Like, you know, your high school, consider yourself pretty sharp, and then you come into college and it's a different world. I remember walking around campus feeling, it's funny, as you know, you're thinking you're wearing your high school jacket, you know, with the name on it, and you're feeling kind of like, you know, I'm in college now. Literally, you know that you're like sticking out like a sore thumb, because as I got later on in college, I'm like, all these freshmen, they're like kids. So I'm sure I was one of those kids thinking like, I'm in college now. So it was exciting. It was new. Obviously, the college experience, you know, choosing your own classes and figuring out parking and you know, walking through these buildings and like, oh, you don't have to show up to class if you don't want, but there are consequences and repercussions. And like, you know, me, like, wow, look at all the girls. Like, wow, you know, I went to a very small high school, so I'm like, wow, you know, just the whole experience. It was like, it was a new world, both in terms of the senses, the experiences, and again, you know, humbling in terms of that first grading period, that first quarter, why she was on quarters at that point. So I remember it vividly. Yeah.
And what did you major in when you first started school?
I first started, I was an engineering major. I wanted to be an aerospace engineer. Why she didn't have necessarily an aerospace engineer program. So I was into mechanical engineering for the first year or two at Youngstown State University.
What made you switch? I found, like, doing my own research, I found like three different majors. So in the jam bar, it said you were an engineering major, and then you also have business administration and finance. Is that correct?
That's it. So engineering started, and then came calculus and differential equations, and like, wow, man, you know, that was a reality check. And I ended up switching majors based on a part-time job that I had. I'd gotten into out of retail, you know, working in college part-time. I was a job fair at Youngstown State University in Kilcawley Center. There was a bank that was hiring, ended up, you know, hiring me on the spot as a teller. And then after a couple of years, they said, hey, we've got this management training program that we'd like to offer you and a chance to enter into. And typically we wait till you graduate, then we offer it. But I was a junior, and they said, you can, you know, we'd like to have you enter into the management training program. But the deal is, it's full time. So, and I was a junior, so I still had two more years of school. And I said, well, I'm not going to not go to school full time. So, you know, I was like, well, okay, I'll work full time during the day and go to school full time at night. And that's what I did for my junior and senior year. And they also said, oh, if you happen to be a business administration major, we'll also help pay for your tuition. I was like, oh, okay. So I don't have to take any more calculus classes. And if I switch to business administration, you actually help pay, and it's relative to the job you're offering me. So the concentration was finance. So I've got a BSBA, but my focus was finance. That's why I switched. Why and when I switched.
And how did you balance your school life from your regular life during the day?
Great question. I had to become more disciplined because, again, the full-time job during the day, knowing that I wanted to and needed to maintain a full-time load, it meant a lot of Saturdays all day in Mog Library. Like, I remember sitting in Mog Library, and it was 80 degrees and blue skies and wonderful weather. And I knew that I needed to be there, you know, Saturdays and Sundays, you know, between church, and focus myself. So it was actually good, because while I was a good student, I didn't necessarily have the best study habits. I was, you know, young and just kind of, you know, last minute cramming, but doing okay. That really helped me focus in, because I knew I had to have that balance. And then it got to the point where my GPA continued to improve, and I wanted to graduate with honors. So, you know, I there was just multiple benefits of focusing, being disciplined, being able to carry a full-time caseload, work, and start my career early, and then have the aspiration of graduating with honors.
And what gave you the aspiration to want to graduate with honors?
As I was doing my classes and becoming more comfortable, I saw that it was within reach. I think I may have fallen just short, so I don't remember exactly, you know, summa cum laude, magna cum laude, but I graduated with a cumulative GPA of 3.2 or 3.3 in that area. But what I was most proud of is that during my last quarter, I was carrying 17 hours, which was a pretty decent load. And I, my last quarter, I ended up with a 4.0. So I got straight A's, carrying 17 hours, working full time. So even though I think I was just short of the honors cumulatively, that to me was just, was you know, something I was very, very proud of to have been able to accomplish.
Were there any faculty members on campus who may have mentored you or guided you while you were a student here?
Absolutely, more than I can remember, but some of them that stand out were Dr. Victor Wantata, you know, Dr. Homer Warren, Dr. Ron Volpe, who was actually how I got inspired to really get involved in money and banking and economics. There was an economics professor. There was, her name was Joyce Bowser. She was an English professor. So yeah, there were, those are ones that stand out. I'm sure there were others, but absolutely.
And were you a part of any groups while you were in school? Like, were you in any fraternities? Did you join any clubs?
I wasn't, and I didn't. And I look back, and if there was anything I could have done differently, that probably would have been it. And I was very, very involved in my church. So there were always activities and organizations that I was involved in. They just weren't on campus. They typically were, you know, associated with the church and church groups. I did, you know, casually play intramural basketball and you know, use the facilities, played racquetball, but didn't belong to any fraternities, any clubs. And again, looking back, had I known what I know now, I absolutely, and in addition to the fact I was, you know, commuting, I was living at home in Youngstown, so I wasn't, there was always home to be, and then working for those last 2 years. So I, you know, that's one thing I would have done differently or perhaps like to have experienced that I didn't.
And with working with your church, you built a community sort of like outside of school. Can you speak a little bit on those relationships and how it may have affected your education a little bit?
Yeah, those relationships. In fact, yeah, my relationship, I had friends at YSU, but the community of friends I had were lifelong friends who I'd gone to school with, who I'd gone to church with. Many of us were at YSU, well, you know, together. So, you know, we fraternized on campus, off campus. We motivated each other. We had the same set of sort of values and goals. So it was really a tight knit group that to this day, you know, we're close. In fact, just a week ago, one of our lifelong friends, you know, came and visited us here in Connecticut, and we get together a couple times a year, either back in Ohio or somewhere. So yeah, it was just a tight knit group.
And as far as on and maybe off campus, where did the students meet? Maybe the Black students on campus?
Well, Kilcali, like, you know, people, academic careers were made and died in Kilcali. You know, that was sort of, you know, at least, and again, you're young, but Kilcali was sort of painted as this alluring thing that was like sexy but dangerous. And, you know, you could go in there and hang out in Kilcali. And I know students who did, like, they spent more time in Kilcali than they did in class. And like 8 years later, they still hadn't graduated, but they were like the king and queen of Kilcali. You know, I don't, you know, they were the fraternity houses, but again, I wasn't familiar with it, but I know the Black Student Union and things like that. So, you know, I spent time in Kilcali, but it wasn't that appealing to me where it was like, there was always something going on, you know, so to hang out, but it wasn't that appealing because, like I said, I had so many other outlets and so many other things. But yeah, you know, a lot of time spent there. You know, I spent time in the gym, stand ball, you know, again, playing basketball but I spent a lot of time in the library, you know, like a lot of time just studying and you know, and the campus today, you know, I just marvel at what the campus looks like today versus then. You know, I'm not so old where it was like four buildings. People are like, oh yeah, why she was like four buildings, and you know, so it was a full scale campus during my time there, but I go back, I just was back in Youngstown a couple months ago, and like, it looks like, I mean, I don't mean to fit like a real college, like, you know, student housing and stores and stuff like this. It looks, you know, it looks amazing, and how it's really expanded the footprint and interface with the city. So I'm proud. I'm excited. It's like I told my son, I was like, dude, like your choices are an HBCU, an Ivy League. He picked Ohio State, and I said Youngstown State. Like, so Ohio State, Youngstown State are two choices because your parents both went there, and then we want you to have a choice between an Ivy League and HBCU. And to me, like any four of those, we'd be proud.
What kind of things went on in or maybe around campus that you might remember?
Yeah, of course you remember the parties. Again, and I was never like in, I was like always on the periphery of the party, a little bit scared, a little bit nervous. I remember the Rock. In outside of Kilcali, I don't know if the Rock is still there, like they paint it, you know, it'd be protests or statements and things like that. It was just like a hub of activity. Like that's where you went to eat. That's where you kind of went to kind of just meet me in Kilcali. The computer center was there. Back then we didn't like there were computers, but not everybody had their own laptop. So you were going to the computer center doing whatever you're doing. The concerts that were there. So it was like it was supposed to be. It was a hub of student activity. The candy store, like always getting that candy high and that candy store that was always there. And again, there are more facilities and places that students gather now. But at that point, that was really just it was always something. And then, again, things like the job fair. That might have been in Beagle. But just always something happening in Kilcali.
And what kind of engagement did you participate in on campus? You weren't a part of any groups, but did you participate in certain things that may have contributed to the Youngstown State University campus?
Yeah, I don't remember what, but I'm sure I did. I mean, it was sessions and symposiums that they would have that would be of interest to me. Certainly went to my share of football games at the stadium. So I don't remember in particular because again, first couple years there, you're just finding your way around. And then by the time I sort of got comfortable on campus, I was, you know, working and all the while was always involved, very involved, you know, with the church. So I'm sure there were a lot of things that were there that I didn't necessarily partake in, but you know, I know that there were things that would come to campus that would be of interest to me that I would participate in. I just don't remember anything particularly.
Aside from, of course, going to school and work full time, why do you feel like you didn't participate as much with groups and clubs on campus?
I think largely because of that. I being first generation, It was a somewhat of an overwhelming experience. Like, you know, there was nobody who said, oh, like, this is what happens when you get on campus. Like, you know, this is what you might experience. This is what you might want to explore. So some of it was just, wow, there's 1,000 different things. Where do you even go? I think I could have benefited from more guidance just to say, hey, make sure you try this or explore this. Some of it you explore and it's a self-discovery, but I certainly would have benefited from that. So I think that's part of it. And again, another part of it was just being so involved in so many other things outside of campus and off of campus. That was probably even a more significant part of it. Campus was one of multiple things that I, you know, was connected to or had going on.
And in your experience with sort of like guiding yourself, being a first generation and not really having anyone to lead you the correct way, what experiences did you learn?
You know, and again, I had lots of support, and it wasn't that I was led in an incorrect way. I just could have benefited from people who was like, oh, I went to college and this is what happens during your time there. And, you know, so, you know, but I did learn to be more independent. You know, I learned when it was time to pay tuition, how to go to, you know, and I wasn't Beekner Hall. I might have been Beekner Hall, where the bursars, like, I knew how to go to the bursar's office and navigate. I knew how to get an emergency student loan when my Pell Grant hadn't come in or my scholarship hadn't come in. I knew how to talk to career services. So I really learned how to navigate and sort of make that transition from a high school student where everything is done, so much more is done for you, guidance counselor, parents. Like my parents, you know, they show up to PTO and PTA in high school and the guidance counselor and principal said this, like at YSU, you know, that's on you. And I knew how to interface with my professors. They have office hours. I need help. You go and you go to the counselor's office. So it was really, in that regard, a good experience because I transitioned from being a high school kid that stuff was sort of put in front of you and you say A or B to a college student where you're like, oh, I got to go out and make contact and engage. And if I don't, you know, it's not that people don't care, but I'm not a kid. They're not going to force feed you. They're going to say, we're here if you need it. We'll provide guidance if you ask. We put material there, you know, but if you just want to navigate your own way, then, you know, that's, you could do that sometimes to your peril. So it helped me become more independent, advocate, and just really learn how to navigate unfamiliar territory.
What is your current career? What do you do now?
I'm currently president and CEO of the Hartford Foundation for Public Giving in Connecticut. And I've been doing this for 6 years now.
And when you were graduating high school, and you were thinking about all the different colleges you wanted to go to, and you may have even thought of leaving Youngstown, why ultimately did you choose to go to YSU?
That's a great choice, a great question. It was boiled down to affordability and proximity. And that's not a knock on YSU. I had gotten accepted to, you know, you get a flood of mail. I had applied and was accepted to Syracuse University. They did have aerospace engineering program. And then when it was all said and done, between my Pell Grant and financial assistance from Syracuse that they offered, there was still, I don't know, $10,000 or $15,000 gap. And that wasn't happening. You know, my parents, you know, didn't have that. I didn't. And the other thing, I really wasn't familiar with, oh, well, you just borrow, which might have been a good thing. You know, so it was like, oh, like, how do I make up $10,000 between what the costs are and the package that I had? And I remember a week before school started, like, okay, well, I'm going to college. So let me enroll at YSU and then we'll figure it out. I'll enroll at YSU, maybe go there for a couple of years. And then there was really no reason for me not to continue at YSU. So it was proximate. It was exceptionally affordable. It was a full-fledged 4-year university. It had a variety of majors. And again, I said, okay, I'll start off in mechanical and then go back to aerospace. And then once I was there, there was no reason not to be there. So I appreciated that it was affordable and was proximate, even though it wasn't necessarily my first choice. That being said, I don't think my career has been any less fulfilling or gratifying because I went to YSU versus anywhere else in the country. And I chuckle sometimes, and I laugh, and I'm proud. You know, I've there are lots of great universities, Ivy League, HBCU. But I could, you know, I've stood next to Ivy League graduates and don't feel any less equipped having my YSU degree. As a matter of fact, I've had people who've graduated from prestigious universities who've reported to me and worked for me over the years. And I don't say that arrogantly, but I'm like, it's where you go is important, but the experience that you make of it is more important.
And what did you do upon graduation? Like right when you graduated, what was the job that you?
I had switched my major to finance. I continued my banking career. So I worked at one of the local banks. Now having graduated and moved up through the management to be a manager at one of the local banks. I spent time at the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland because I wanted to sort of get another side of banking. And my decision to go to Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland was directly related to experience at YSU. I'd taken a class and you know, it was a money and banking class. And I was like, oh, wow, what is this Federal Reserve? And that I think if I worked there, I can go and do all sorts of things in banking. So I ended up at the Federal Reserve. I ended up back in banking, you know, that ultimately then led me into working for the city. And, you know, I ran for mayor and it was elected mayor. So it started off, I mean, all that started out like at YSU, really. In a job fair that was me starting off as a part-time teller. Like, there's a direct line between that job fair and me being elected mayor and going to DC and doing what I'm doing now.
So banking was how you got into politics. Can you tell the story about what maybe encouraged you to run for mayor and how that all happened?
Yeah, I was in banking, community banking, mortgage banking, and banking changed. Started growing and became, in my mind, less appealing, because then it was like, you know, the bank's growing. I didn't feel it was as customer oriented. I didn't feel it was as invested in the community and the city. And the city of Youngstown was hiring for the community development director. And I remember going to interview with Mayor McKelvey, and our bank had just gone public. So that means I'd gotten some stock options and some incentives and bonuses. And Mayor McKelvey interviewed me and looked at me and said, listen, if you're willing to leave the bank and come work for the city with your background, he said, I'll hire you on a spot. And when I went back to the bank and told them I was leaving, I remember the president of the bank saying, like, why on earth would you go work for the city? That's a dead end job. You know, you're losing stock options. And to me, it wasn't about the money. It was like, wow, I get to go work for the city that I live in to do community and economic development, like in the neighborhoods, in the hood. So that's why I went to work for the city. The inspiration to run for mayor came as a result of having worked at the city for, at that point, 4 or 5 years, getting involved in the Youngstown 2010 initiative, really working and understanding how would we change the narrative and a perception of a city that had been seen as, you know, the collapse of the steel industry, like a failed city that best days were behind it, and getting tired of that narrative and this notion, there's nothing here, you got to go. And when you start to see that the people of the city were looking for something different, that we had assets, that we could do something and see ourselves and be seen differently, that slowly, you know, became the inspiration of running for mayor. And you know, having never held political office, having to quit my job at the city to run for mayor because of some federal laws, you know, and being tired of the broken, corrupted political system in the city, was like, you know, people encouraged me, like, you got to run. And, you know, I initially ran to make sure the conversation was focused on the plan that we were working on, with very few people who thought I could win. And that eventually morphed into people like, yep, we're going to do this. And that was the source and the inspiration of me running for mayor for the city of Youngstown.
And what were some of your successes and some of your pitfalls while you were mayor here at Youngstown?
Great question. Some of the successes, you know, certainly I think being able to bring some of the Youngstown 2010 plan to life. You know, we changed the narrative and trajectory of the city. We were very successful in accelerating, demolishing some of the blight. You know, I think there was a period of time where within a 3-year period, we demolished almost 2,000 derelict, dilapidated homes that had been standing for decades that were plaguing the neighborhoods. There was a change in some of the economic developments of the city. You know, one of the big successes was the joint economic development district with the city of Girard, where, you know, a company invested $1 billion to build Valoric, VM Star Steel, invested $1 billion in Youngstown in one project to expand a plant. I'm very proud of the changes we made that made the then Chevrolet Center, now Covelli Center, profitable. You know, Mayor Ungaro early on got the money from Trafficant, Mayor McKelvey got the place built, and I'd like to say our administration got it profitable. You know, we changed the management and it's now paid off or close to paid off, but it became profitable as a result of things we did. So, you know, those are things that I remember fondly, and some of the planning that we did now is coming to fruition. The amphitheater, you know, it didn't get built during my time. We were planning it during my time, the downtown hotel. Some of the challenges, you know, have to do directly with crime. I to this day remain frustrated that the homicide rate in Youngstown is what it is. I, you know, every homicide that occurred during my time as mayor, I took personally, which, you know, wasn't necessarily healthy emotionally, mentally, but I was like, I took personal responsibility. I've never fired a gun in my life, but like when young people or anyone was getting killed in Youngstown, I took that as like, what could I have done differently? What could we have done better? You know, although we had some successes, you know, and it's funny, I was back in town again a few months ago and someone reminded me of the zero tolerance patrols that we started back, I don't know, way back when. They're like, man, that was like, people first thought it was crazy and then thought like, this is great. You know, I even though I didn't have jurisdiction over the school district, that was a frustrating, you know, issue that the schools, you know, continue to struggle. You know, would have liked to have seen more progress in a neighborhood. So again, with every success, there are things that I look back and wish would have been more successful, but that's life. You know, you take the good with the bad.
And earlier you mentioned that Youngstown influenced a lot of your career decisions, such as going into banking and maybe going into politics as well. Do you feel as though YSU and the education that you received here prepared you for everything that you accomplished when you left?
It's setting a solid foundation, 100%. I mean, you know, education would never prepare you for everything, but it sets you on a firm foundation. And again, I am so proud to have graduated from Youngstown State University. I wouldn't have traded that for anything. I would have wanted to be more immersed in the college experiences, but I am glad that I went to YSU. I am proud to be an alumni and ambassador for Youngstown State University, to talk about it wherever I go, and would put my Youngstown State University education up against, you know, any other education. And again, there are more prestigious universities. There's, I love the fact that, you know, we want our son to consider an HBCU. There's, you know, that's exceptionally important to us that he at least considers an HBCU. Like I said, HBCU, Ivy League, he picked Ohio State, and then we put Youngstown State there. So, you know, I couldn't be more proud of having graduated there, being associated with Youngstown State University, and to this day, you know, still remain proud of the school.
And earlier you mentioned a lot that you were very, very involved in your church, and that had a lot to do with why you really didn't do much on campus. What was the name of your church?
Calvary Pentecostal Church.
What kind of community outreach did you guys do while at your church?
Lots of community outreach. So, I mean, it was a large church on the south side of Youngstown that, you know, through the various ministries, was actively engaged. You know, growing up in the church, I was involved in the youth ministry and the teen choir, and you know, in that regard. So that's where my primary circle of friends was and came from. Now, again, I also had friends from other schools and friends in the neighborhood and friends that I met at YSU. But that notion of service really was rooted in my growing up in the church. Service to your community, service to others, and I think service and leadership. So those are two things that really I got from, you know, my upbringing in a church that translated throughout my you know, early professional career and even now. And you know, that was certainly enhanced by the academics that I got at Youngstown State University.
And having been here from so long, from going to just being a small child growing up on every side of Youngstown to becoming the mayor, how has Youngstown changed, like, from your perspective? What were some of the things that you saw were different throughout your life?
So I think there's less of a defeatist mentality. You know, Youngstown still struggles, and I, you know, just my old habits die hard. When I wake up, I, you know, pick up my phone and look at the digital edition of the Youngstown Vindicator, or what's now the Youngstown Vindicator. And, you know, if I see something on crime or homicide, I just, you know, it's just like, it's frustrating. But at the same time, when I see, oh, there were 20,000 people down on the amphitheater for some concert, like, you know, you get heightened, or when you hear about it's time for the Italian Fest, or, you know, all the things that are part and parcel of Youngstown and Mahoning Valley, it makes me proud. So in that regard, I, you know, we certainly see a transformation of downtown. I love coming home and being able to stay in a hotel downtown, or an Airbnb, or some office, what used to be an office building that now is an Airbnb or an apartment. So I was there again a month ago, stayed in a Gallagher building where Cedars used to be. And I was like, man, this is like, this is cool. This is a big city. Cool. Stay in the DoubleTree. That's changed. I talked about the campus. I love Mill Creek Park, and just going and running and being in Mill Creek Park. And then, you know, I see change in the neighborhood, both good and bad. Some of the neighborhoods are more emptied out, and you see, you know, that there's still struggle. But then I see other neighborhoods that are, you know, taking shape and continue to evolve and strengthen. I drive by where my childhood homes used to stand. I drive by the playgrounds. It's a very nostalgic feeling. You know, I see what we hoped were success in some of the grocery stores that now, you know, did not succeed in a way. So it's just, it's a very full sensory experience when I come to Youngstown, both an emotional roller coaster. You feel the highs and you feel the lows and everything in between. So my wife, you know, she used to not understand, like, sometimes I wouldn't want to go because having been mayor, having lived there, it just becomes sort of an exhausting experience. And other times when I'm there, I was like, yeah, I could, like, this is home. This is what defines me in ways that to this day are important to me. And you want to be, and I'm always eager to come back. Like, even if I get frustrated, it's probably a bad habit. Somebody said, can you come back to Youngstown and do X? And before they get it out, I'm like, yep. You know, I was like, oh, we didn't even tell you it doesn't matter. If you're asking me to come back, like, yep, I'm coming back.
And what changes would you like to see here in Youngstown as a former leader, as former mayor? Are there still things that you would like to see done better here?
Absolutely. You know, I you know, there's always, Youngstown has wrestled with political dysfunction for a long time and just continues to be one of those things. I'd like to see, you know, political dynamic where the city and the valley really recognize the importance of working together. You can't have, I heard the mayor here say it, and I used to say it in a different way, you can't have thriving suburbs with a struggling city. You know, it's just not, it doesn't work in any meaningful way. So I'd like to see, you know, more, you know, cooperation, collaboration across the Mahoning Valley. I'd like to see us rid ourselves in totality of the political corruption and incompetence. You know, I think we've made strides, but unfortunately, two of my successors were, you know, convicted in of political corruption. Figuring out and continuing to believe that Youngstown and Mahoning Valley are relevant places in Ohio, and in the country. And continuing to lift that up. You know, there's lots of potential now. We saw what happened with GM, but now we're seeing where Youngstown can be involved in the, you know, the electric vehicle manufacturing. It's still very strong manufacturing DNA. Still, you know, great asset. So yeah, I don't know. There's just a variety of things that if you had a magic wand, you'd wave. One of the things that to this day, I would be remiss not to mention, because again, having been back recently, is the work that the philanthropic community is doing, the Raymond John Wayne Foundation, a friend of mine, Jennifer Roller, like that, my experience with that foundation, when they transformed themselves and sort of pivoted to being the what I call the equivalent of a community foundation, a family foundation that really operates like a community foundation, that showed me how powerful philanthropy could be as a partner and as a catalyst. And it was that experience that helped really define my experience in leadership here in Hartford, Connecticut. And that was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. It was and to this day. So I think things like that, leveraging assets like that for the betterment of the city and the valley.
We actually interviewed Miss Jennifer Roller. She's very nice and she's very intelligent and she's done a lot for the community. What is your relationship like with her? How has your friendship been with her?
She's like my secret hero, you know. It's a great relationship. So I actually got to know Jennifer through my wife, Sonia, who Jennifer was Sonia's boss at Upward Bound. Mm-hmm. And I just got to know Jennifer and Jason. And when I decided to run for mayor, they were like early and big supporters. They had a fundraiser at their house and were like, you know, Jay Williams for mayor. So they were huge supporters, Jennifer and Jason and their son Trey, who, you know, I remember when like Trey was practically born and a year ago, he reached out to me on LinkedIn. And I was like, wait a minute, I remember you were born. Now you're like just grown up and we're like contemporaries. So I was in Washington, D.C. when Jennifer took the helm. Well, no, she left Youngstown State, I think went to the foundation or had somewhere in between, but went to the foundation. And I was in Washington, D.C. when they announced that she was taking the helm and becoming the president and CEO of the Raymond John Williams Foundation and was just ecstatic. And a little bit jealous because I was in D.C. enjoying D.C. I'm like, man, she's like, this is a sweet gig. And I had no idea that, you know, a few years later, I would also be in philanthropy heading up the Hartford Foundation. So we both belong to the Association of Black Foundation Executives. She's like way more active than I am. And I need to be more active in that. Love when I see her, love to talk to her, love what she's doing, the leadership that she is bringing. And just am so glad that I met her years ago, her and Jason, and that now, you know, we both head up foundations in communities that very much need the type of energy that foundations bring.
And did you guys do any work together, like community outreach when you were mayor?
No, because when I was mayor, she was still at the university. And she may have she may have been at the Raymond John Williams Foundation, but she wasn't CEO. So I shouldn't say no, because the foundation did a ton of outreach and investment in the city. I just don't remember at what point she was there. I do remember I was in D.C. when she became CEO. So, yes, it was the Raymond John Williams Foundation was one of the most significant investors in the city in terms of, you know, the city pivoting to become a more vibrant, dynamic place. You know, they were an early adopter and investor in the Youngstown Neighborhood Development Corporation, YNDC, which to me is still one of the most consequential things that has occurred in the city. They, you know, invested heavily in Warren, so that organization has been a partner. And again, I, you know, in my mind, there is not a better person to head that organization than Jennifer Roller.
Is there anything that you would like to add, any advice that you would like to give to the youth who maybe in the future are doing their own research and they come across Jay Williams in their YSU research? Is there anything that you would like to say to them or a message you would like to leave to them?
I want to be an open book, you know, learn from my mistakes. If I did something that was halfway good, do it 10 times better. Do not discount by any stretch of the imagination, Youngstown State, where Youngstown State is not a safety school. It shouldn't be seen as a secondary. Oh, I couldn't go here, so I went there. Listen, again, go to school where, you know, your aspirations take you. But do not believe or feel for one second that if you choose to go to Youngstown State University, or if it was chosen for you, or if you didn't have the ability or resource to go somewhere else, that you're like in some secondary or tertiary educational institution. That is absolutely not the fact. I am well compensated with a degree from Youngstown State University. I've traveled the globe as a graduate of Youngstown State University. I've worked and met multiple presidents of this country, all being a graduate of Youngstown State University. So it's like, I know this is not like a YSU commercial, but that's what I would tell. Don't think like, oh man, I went to YSU. So believe me, lots of great choices you have in life, but understand and make sure and believe that Youngstown State University is one of them, because it is about what you make of it. because I know people who have gone to YSU and who, you know, find themselves dissatisfied because it's not because they went to YSU, because I know people who've gone to Ivy League universities and find themselves dissatisfied, disconnected. What do you make of the experiences, the tools, the resources, the support, the people that you have there? You know, and both my wife and I, you know, are excited and again would not feel one degree of dissatisfaction, disappointment if Ethan's like, well, yep, I can, you know, I'm going to YSU. You know, all we want to make sure is that we want to make sure he has more choices and opportunities than we had. And if his choice and opportunity is Youngstown State University, you know, then there'll be three Penguins. You know, well, he got to get out when he graduate. He can't stay home when he graduates. So there'll be two Penguins in the house and him off doing his own thing somewhere.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. It is very appreciated.
Thank you for the invitation. I don't take it for granted. I congratulate you on your upcoming graduation in the spring. What are you majoring in?
Psychology.
Good. Okay. So I wish you well. And you grew up in the city. I know I shouldn't be interviewing, but did you grow up in Youngstown?
Yes. Yeah. I grew up mostly on the east side.
Oh, me too. Yeah, early road. So good. I wish you well, and look forward to, you know, some person who will be interviewing you for the Youngstown State University Archives, and I'll get to say I knew her when.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Stay well, and let me know, like, whatever happens, or, you know, because I'd be interested in, is this going to be digitally available at some point? Because, again, some of the other people you interviewed are fascinating to me.
Yes, it is going to be available through our website. You'll be able to look it up on the, I think on the digital MOG. It is going to be a part of our history department.